From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on October 31st, 2018, right here on Connections. We sat down with members of the local transgender community to discuss the challenges they face, and that's when two local women met for the first time. Penny Sterling is a storyteller and a comedian who's been an outspoken advocate for the LGBTQ community. Amy Stevens is also a comedian, and she was looking to connect with other trans women as she began her journey. Well, for the last several months, the two women have shared their stories, advocated for the LGBTQ community, and even embarked on a new project together. Transformation Thursday is their new podcast. It aims to explore transformations within society and delve into how those transformations have changed the way we live our lives on a daily basis. The first official recording is set for tomorrow. They've been working on it for a while, though. And in honor of Rochester Pride Week, we've invited Amy and Penny to join us today to preview their podcast and discuss their personal transformations. They've been vocal about sharing their experiences, whether it's online or on stage, and they've handled truly difficult conversations with grace, sometimes even humor. In fact, I'm sort of glad there's not a camera here off air because they're always making me laugh, and I'm always, Penny especially, but Amy is really kind of pushing me in that direction. We always enjoy the conversations, and Penny and Amy are back with us now. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.
Nice to have you. Are you going to make me laugh this hour in ways that, are you going to make me uncomfortable, Penny?
Well, we'll keep a good thought about that, okay? I'm looking forward to that, yes.
Well, you have the first, I was kind of surprised, the first official podcast recording is tomorrow?
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Yep. And so why don't both of you tell us what Rochester's newest podcast is going to be all about and where people can find it, and then we'll kind of dive into everything going on with Penny and Amy.
Well, as far as where to find it, that's going to be Amy's bailiwick. As for what it is about, it is, like you said, it's called Transformation Thursdays because we're both busy on Tuesdays.
We made time for you, though, today.
Yeah, we will make time for you. That's right. This is our outside media day on Tuesdays because we're both very busy. it's about how things change sometimes dramatically in seemingly short periods of time. Which is what happened with us, both of us, later on in life, after being fairly established human males, revealed to the world, no, that's not really the case. And both of our outward transformations seem pretty rapid and pretty dramatic, but really it was just a case of the outsides catching up with the insides finally after 40 or 50 years of denial. And I want to be able to tell that story and to help people understand that we are just human beings with lives and want, you know, as like carrying on that same theme from the previous show, we want the same things as everybody else does. And there should be, and we're trying to make a little bit of normalcy about being transgender. And one of the reasons, and to display that normalcy, one of the things that we're doing with the show is just showing how transformations occur quickly and rapidly so many places in our lives these days and in ways that people may not even understand or even be aware of. And so we're going to be bringing people on who have like worked through industries and their own personal transformations themselves.
All right. And Amy, I guess it's your job to figure out where people can find it. What's the answer to that?
Well, we do have a Patreon page already with a URL that directs to that. So you can find us at transformationthursday.com, and that will bring you to our Patreon page. And then as we do have, you know, we're using a third-party provider for the podcast, and once we get everything loaded through there, you'll be able to find it on, you know, wherever you find your podcast, so any commercial outlet.
You know, both of our guests have, in various ways, have shared their stories here on this program. Penny and Amy do it on stage with comedy. You do it sort of to disarm people in a way, but also to kind of continue, I think, to Penny's point, just the sort of societal normalization of just transgender life here. And so I want to ask Amy, if I could, I've seen some of the videos you've posted, and you've written a few things online about kind of guidelines about understanding. And my perspective is that your transition has been gradual.
Yep. In very gradual.
You know, in that now, the most recent video I saw, you're talking about, you know, you're Amy every day, everywhere you go.
Yep.
But that was you know, something that it was at least a little bit of a gradual change. And you have to get to a point where you decide, well, I guess what I'm curious about here is, are you looking at in recent months your transition thinking, well, this is what I'm comfortable with, or this is what society or people around me are comfortable with?
I think when I started this process, which was back in February, March of 2017, so mm-hmm. we're coming up on 2.5 years of exploring gender, figuring out where this is going, starting hormones, doing the social, doing the family, doing all the different things that are involved with transition, because this touches every part of our lives as transgender people. It touches everything. So one of the things, you know, as we worked through this, I wanted to make sure that I knew where I wanted to go with this, and each step was very deliberate through working with counselors, working with medical professionals, having friends in the background, cis, trans, gay, just people that I could relate to at some level who had, you know, could advise me even and walk through this with me. And so that was a huge process of this. But when I started that, I think I was more concerned about the societal impacts of, you know, one time I was at a coffee house, I got made fun of for the way I was presenting, and I essentially scattered off, and I ran away from the situation. Now, recently, I was out at a place last week, a couple teenagers were looking over their shoulder, kind of making a little laughing at me, and I looked at them like, hey, I'm here, deal with it. And finally, the kids were like, they started to argue, but then they're like, oh, okay. And then they just left us alone. That just marks two different approaches in the attitude. Now it's like, I'm going to take my space within society, and I'm going to be public and visible, for lack of a better term, so that way people get just realize we are people, and we're just human beings going through lives, and we just have a different experience than what you have.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying before the program began, there are some things that I cannot read on the air because they are vulgar, directed at Amy, but Penny was saying, you know, somewhat common. The kinds of things that people, so if I could, I don't want to read the message, but I want to ask what you have to deal with sometimes, Amy. And Penny, I'm sure you've got stories to share as well. Whereas, you know, somebody might be sort of an old high school acquaintance and they find you on Facebook. And I think the message started with like, hey, dude, how are you?
Hey, dude, how are you? Number one, I'm not a dude anymore. And I'm doing great. Thank you. Next message is...
careful.
Nope. What parts of your body are you going to be cutting off? And so...
asking you just directly.
Very directly. And so I've gotten to the point with that conversation of like, you know what? And I make this a huge part of my comedy just because it's so ridiculous. When I meet somebody in a public setting and within 30 seconds to a minute, they're asking me about what surgeries I'm going to have.
See, people say that in public face-to-face?
Have you had the surgery yet is a question that we get all the time. Like, there is a one surgery. Have you had the surgery yet?
Within a minute.
Yeah.
Because Penny, I was assuming with Amy, because I read that Facebook exchange, my assumption was, well, people may feel free to ask that question on Facebook. They're not going to say it in person.
They say it. They ask it all the time in ways and in places that you wouldn't. I had it asked me in church one time. It wasn't my church, but it was a church that I was when I was touring the country. And that was, you know, the post service, you know, Methodist punch and cookies over that. They asked me if I was in town, if I was moving, planning there, and I'm like, no, I'm doing a show, yada, yada, yada. And they, have you had the surgery yet? It was just like conversational in the church narthex. Yeah.
I'm trying not to laugh because it's so wild to me. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like, it's not funny. But, you know, it's just absurd.
Yeah, it is absurd. And it is funny. And if you actually look, I do a show called Spy in the House of Men, a one-woman show. And then there's part of it that is crossed out because I had, because of a surgery that I had. And it's really funny to watch men when they realize what that means. And 9 times out of 10, the men will just, like, stop. And then all of a sudden, they'll just slowly cross their legs and put their arms over their thighs. And it's like, which is a real good barometer. If you look at that and you do that, then you are not transgender. Okay. If you do and you don't, then you may have some things to think about. Well, there it is. I
see,
win.
Don't make me laugh at this, Penny.
And with one of the things you read on Facebook, and I look at this and I say, okay, from this one male who I had never met before, he was in a circle of friends that I thought would be safe to accept his friend request from, and I start getting vulgar messages real quick. Of course, I block him, but a friend of mine asked me about that. It's like, she's like, I get some of that, but it seems like you get more of it sooner and quicker. And I go, well, a lot of times when the way I look at that, if there's a person, especially a male, cis male, who's going to be misogynistic in some sort, he's already going to look down at femininity, and then he's going to look at us as a novelty item. So there's absolutely no level of respect that we have in their eyes.
Yeah.
And so it's just easy to punch us down and to take those shots and ask us those questions because our feelings are not to be taken into consideration.
We are objectified in a lot of times we are, and I've actually had people do this where I would get messages saying, want to help me cross an item off my bucket list. And off my bucket list. And I was like, oh, you want to go bungee jumping or hang gliding? Yeah, I'm down for that. And no, that's not what they want. We are an adventure. And that, you know, that's where my next show that I'm doing at the Fringe this year called Schmilf Life delves into that. That is the theme of the show that I'll be doing. And really, I think, considering what I'm going to be talking about, that's about as much as I can say about that topic here.
That's probably appropriate. But yeah. So obviously, you know, it's 2019. It's kind of strange that there's an etiquette question about asking about genitalia.
Yeah.
Don't do it to anybody.
Yeah.
To anybody, transgender or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't bump into somebody on the street or, I don't know, at church over punch.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to. But most people are not comfortable enough.
When you're what, 7?
Yeah. I mean, it's just so strange. But can I ask, because there's different sort of, there's different tones and different moments. So Amy, if it's kids on the street who are kind of pointing and laughing,
yep,
and you experience that, you chose to just be direct?
Be direct.
And just say...
But they were teenagers, so I mean, they were at old. They know better, and I mean, so like, okay, you got your look, you got your laugh. I'm human. I'm going to enjoy lunch here with my friend, and that took care of it. And it was that quick, that easy.
Does that bring you down for the day, or do you bounce off? That sort of bounce off you.
I bounce off. I can't get down about everything because if I did, I would, you know, live in my bedroom, suck on my thumb, and that's not a place to be. So
okay, now. Penny, yeah. At church, when that comes up over punch, what's the response?
I believe I said, is this a question that I can ask your wife?
Oh, that's a really
incisive
comeback.
Yeah, and he got kind of flustered, and I said, well, then why are you asking me? But that, you know, it's like I wasn't expecting, and a lot of times context involves where you are and how comfortable and safe you feel. That one didn't really affect me. I remember one time I was like walking out of a coffee shop and a guy opened the door for me as he was going out and I walked past him. I said, thanks. And he propositioned me. It was like Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock and he propositioned me. And, you know, I responded in a flip and humorous manner and I posted it on Facebook. That was, you know, it's like, that was really bizarre. I now have a part-time job in a service position where I'm helping customers. And I remember one time I was helping this one woman with her family and then they wanted off to do other things in the store. And I took a break to go to the bathroom and I went to go to the bathroom and the woman had posted her daughter outside the door of the bathroom when I was trying to go in and the girl said, Mommy says you can't come in here.
Oh boy.
Yeah. That one got me.
Ooh.
And I've had people that I've dealt with that, you know, I'll be helping them and they'll say, and going over the order with them, you want this? And I'll say, yes, sir. And I'll say, please don't call me sir. And then you want to do that. And yes, sir. No, please do not call me sir.
Do it maliciously?
No, they just do it. Well, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Okay.
But when I say please and or on the phone, because I know I have a dark voice, I will get a lot of sirs. And I'm like, I'd rather you didn't call me sir. I do it as gently as I can because I understand on the phone. But in front of me, it's like, yes or no, please don't call me sir. And I like the third time, I'm like, please do not call me sir. And they go, why do you have to be so uppity about this?
Ooh.
Yeah. Or then the other ones who deliberately are like yelling at me and like, you know, just angry that I'm helping them because I am transgender, and they ask for the manager and they say, I don't want him to help me. I've had that happen. That one really hurt. That one was like, you know, where they're just doubling down on the fact that, no, I am not who I say I am. And I and he should not have to call me and honor my basic existence. Something like that really, really hurts. Mm-hmm. Because first off, I'm in a service, but I can't even retaliate. So I just have to take it.
Mm. So, and that's the big thing here. So kind of bringing that back to a personal level in my situation is, well, I haven't lost, maybe my friend group is going to change and evolve, and that happens through life, especially through a big situation like this. But, you know, I did lose one set of friends that were really close to me specifically because, you know, the family doesn't agree with the transgender philosophy.
Philosophy,
yes.
Philosophy.
Lifestyle, that's another
lifestyle.
One. Lifestyle, yes. Yeah. Hey, it's just your lifestyle. No,
yeah.
It's not.
It's, and so... So if I decide that I want to go over and spend time with them, I can do it if I dress male, act male, and take on my old persona. But Amy's not welcome. And that was made very clear because it's weird. It's different. They don't know how to explain this to their kids. I told my child in about 10 seconds, she's like, do you still love me? Yep. You going anywhere? Nope. Okay. What's next?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that hard.
Was any of the objection you heard in your friend groups religious-based?
A little bit, yeah. Considering where I come from with the religious background over the last 20 years, you know, I joined the Mormon Church in 1999. I'd come out of a marriage previous to that where, looking back on it now with, you know, a clear lens of what I know and who I know and who I am right now, gender was an issue in that marriage back in the mid-90s as well. And some of the ways that got expressed, you know, we would term it as a fetish, an issue, something just not, it was outside of the normal in the mid-1990s. And so by the time I moved to Arizona, at the time, excuse me, you know, and I joined a Mormon church at the point in my life where that behavior was starting to come back and I was trying to run from it. And Mormonism provided for me a construct for my life. I'm thankful for it because I got, you know, my ex and I get along great. We co-parent well. We have two great kids. You've met our kids. It's been a while, but, you know, we have...
Back in my Channel 13 days, didn't it?
Way back.
I know.
So, you know, we have a great life, and we've built a great life for ourselves here in Rochester. And so, you know, at the point where I joined Mormonism, that provided a construct for me to put that out of my life through religious belief, practice. And you know what? For 5-6 years, it did a really good job, but the way transgender and these issues work and gender, they never go away. And so this was just really, lack of a better term, it was a ticking time bomb.
So I want to be careful because I haven't studied this all that closely, but my sort of surface understanding is that the Mormon Church has not been friendly to the LGBTQ community. Is that fair? And I'm talking about on a societal...
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking person to person.
No, and I really draw a distinction with that.
Okay.
So locally here, through the local leaders that I know, I have many friends that are still involved with the Mormon Church. 99.9% of the local membership of the Mormon Church here that I know and I interact with still because of the way our family situation is are fine. They're great. They're wonderful people. There's actually on Instagram, there's an account that's through the Mormon Church here that follows me, and they like my posts. They know what's going on in my life. But that institutional level church has really dug in its heels on the one man, the one woman, you know, he, she, that traditional, you know, cis, heterosexual, normative, you know, storyline that they've dug in on it and made it very clear that they're digging in on it, and it's has some severe impacts within, especially, you know, Utah, where, you know, the Mormon Church is headquartered. Mm-hmm. So, but here locally, I've been accepted by and by except for, you know, a person here or there. So I'm very happy with the way that's played out.
Are you surprised at that?
No. No. I've always known for a long time that this part, that the local leadership here in this part of the church is relatively liberal compared to other parts of the Mormon church. And so I'm not surprised.
I think it's important to ask both Penny and Amy, because we've been talking about the challenges, and I think we should continue to, because we are still a society where, you know, we've got higher rates of discrimination and unemployment and attempted suicide and all kinds of greater challenge for the trans community. But knowing that you go back to the 90s and you can see little seeds of this or things that tell you, okay, this was manifesting in different ways. And sitting here now, feeling, I assume, much more liberated as who you are. Tell me the most rewarding part about having made this transition, and despite a society that occasionally can be cruel. Penny?
I'm able to display emotion much more freely and much more regularly, which has helped me navigate so many things in my life that used to confound me, because I would just respond with rage. I'm able to love the way I want to. I'm able to express myself the way I want to, both in the way I dress and the way I move, the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I think. It was always antithetical to the way I was performing as a man. I don't know if there's just one thing that I could narrow it down to. It's just a lightening of spirit that has allowed me to smile more and be more joyful. And I've always wanted to be a performer. I got my degree in acting, but the only thing I could do would be like rage and comedy. I had no ability to express anything else. And it's just amazing that after I transitioned, I am able to, you know, I'm writing my third show. I'm touring the country. I'm, you know, a media presence, for crying out loud. All things that I wanted to be, the person that I wanted to be, is intrinsically tied up with the fact that I get to be the person that I am. I couldn't be the person that I wanted to be and be a man, apparently. I had to actually transition before I was able to actualize and realize the dreams that I've wanted my entire life. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Amy?
I think for me, all what Penny says is something, but one thing I've noticed since I've started coming out, and especially in the last year, as I've started to reconnect with different friends, is I've always been, you know, before I transitioned, I was considered one of those guys that had a lot of friends who were girls. But now those friendships that I've made with, you know, my girlfriends are a lot deeper. They're a lot emotional. They share different things with me and different parts of themselves with me now that they would never have shared with me before my transition. And I have found so much joy and love in those relationships that's become really the bedrock of, you know, my foundation of where I jump off from now, because, you know, Penny's been, you know, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, we've slowly become fast friends.
Yes, we have. And so over, you know, but as you said, last year at this time, I took my first HRT, you know.
Treatment,
yeah. Words escape me today for some reason. I'm starting to get a little emotional. So, and then we were on here in October of last year. I was still very part-time. And now I'm here full-time every day, being out and having my life as I want it now. And it's just so normal.
Yeah.
How fast it's become normal. I wake up, I take my shower, I do my routine, I put on my makeup, I put on my dress, I go to work, I do my stuff, and I come home and I do everything in reverse.
But interestingly enough, in your expectations and guidelines, of which you have, what, 7 or 8 or something?
9.
Oh, 9. One of them talks about this idea that some people may see you without makeup,
mm-hmm.
and either make comments, you know, about the kind of day you're having, or is this a comment? Does this happen?
Well, no one sees me without makeup anymore. I bike ride with jewelry. That's just the way I'm very aware that, you know, the lateness of my transition. I've got three times more yesterdays than I will ever have tomorrow's, actuarially speaking. And I just enjoy being a woman so much that I stopped bike riding for a while because I didn't like the way I looked as a...
Now, look, I don't mean to lecture you, Penny, but boys can wear jewelry, too.
Yeah, okay, eyeliner, well, even that, too. But no, being who I was, being feminine.
Traditionally feminine.
Okay. That's the image I had of myself, and that's the image that I really enjoy projecting and enjoy being. So I very rarely go out without at least, you know, first off, my eyebrow, for whatever reason, my eyebrows disappeared someplace in the beginning of the century, and I think I may have lost them in the divorce or something. And I started drawing those in, but it was like I don't go out without foundation and lipstick and eyeliner on anymore because I just don't want to.
Okay.
I think I hijacked this from Amy. So Amy, I'm just
it's interesting because, you know, look, plenty of women don't want to wear makeup.
Yeah. No, and that for me, there's times. So I'm in a little different situation where my youngest is 10, mm-hmm. and so she had a thing over the weekend, and you know, she knows I'm full time. She knows I'm Amy, but not everybody in this place where we're going knew that I'm transgender. So I asked her, I'm like, how do you want me to dress? So, you know, we agreed it was pretty gender neutral presentation. Wore a baseball cap, hat, you know, hair pulled back, a little bit of BB cream to cover up some stuff, and you know, but I didn't hide my breasts, and you know, I wore a regular bra, and I went out and did my date. Somebody said, hi, I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you, who are you? And I said, Amy. They gave me a little bit of a puzzled look. I said, I'm transgender, and here I am, and we just rolled on with it. But the genesis of that one conversation was last month, my older daughter, who's 17, graduated from high school. And so the night of her graduation, I said, what do you want me to wear? And I had been presenting pretty much more and more. I was getting to a point where it was pretty much Amy all the time, but she's like, you know, Dad, because I'm still dad to her, is I want you to wear a suit tonight. I want you to wear that to my high school graduation. I want tonight to be with my dad. And that's what I gave her. But then I had a friend of mine message me later, say, you know, I'm confused because you want everybody to see you as Amy, but then you go out and do something with your daughter and even post a picture with you and your family, and you're dressed like a dude. I'm like, well... But once I explained to him why I was dressed like a dude, he's like, oh, you're just being a good parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the same thing.
And so I'm still dad. I'm still my kid's parent. We still go and do things. But for me to, you know, especially for my 17-year-old who had her whole life,
yeah,
you know, knowing me as one way, and then this year I'm saying, oh, sorry, I'm different. You know, if I took that one final memory away from her at her high school graduation, that wouldn't be a very good parent of me. So, you know, we're still working through some of those logistics.
Sure.
And so, but you know what? But my kids are loving, they're accepting, they're dealing with it in their own way. And, you know, as my daughter leaves for college, her roommates know about me. And the roommates, she said, oh, my dad's trans. And her roommates are like, so?
Well, that's this generation now.
It is
different than when we were growing up.
It is and it isn't. I mean, well, it is
to say that not to say there's no taunting, there's no right. bullying.
Yeah.
But you know, in my show, actually, I have two different shows. I say it two different ways. There's a point in every kid's life when the most important thing that a parent can be is stable and invisible to everybody else in the world except for them. And you know, my
17's the age for that.
Yeah, when I transitioned, my three sons were all old past that point, but my daughter was right in the middle of it, and I had the same issue with her when I trans. And
our good daughters went to the same high
school.
Yeah,
we went to the same high school, and so it ended up, you know, with my daughter saying I love you, and so I will be the person you need me to be. For as long when for as long as you need me to be. And same thing once you went, when we went to college, when we went down to look at the college that she now attends. And I was prepared to pack my Jake from State Farm clothes, as I called them. And she said, no, you can wear whatever you want. And, but when we came back to school, she was, she said, when I drop you off, she wants me in the boy clothes. And when I went for graduation ceremony, I was in the boy clothes. And when she did her high school graduation party, I was in the boy clothes. But just before that party, she said, this will be the last time I ask you to be something that you're not. And yeah, I cried. And she is a fierce advocate for me. She's a fierce advocate for all marginalized people. That's kind of like her MO. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, in her group, because she's afraid of how having a trans parent was going to affect her peer group. And out of that peer group, I think there's one that is straight, they came out as gay, two that are bisexual, and one that is gender questioning. And so it was in the group, but she didn't know that. They didn't know that. They had their own external pressures in school that they had to adhere to. And once we got past that part of their lives with my kids, they were fine with it.
And I think for a lot of things, and I don't want to speak too much for my daughter because, you know, she has her own perspective and story for this. But one thing she did share with me is she's like, I know I have all these friends that are gay, bi, trans, gender non-binary, but they're my friends. They're my age. I don't know anybody in Generation X who's fits those categories. We know a couple gay people, she said, and but I don't, this is so new for her, for me. And I've had also on the flip side of that, I've also had, I'm a volunteer firefighter, and somebody in the fire department even said that. He's like, all my kids in high school that are in high school right now have all friends that, across the LGBTQ spectrum, but I've never dealt with it somebody our age. And that to me says two things. It's great that the younger kids are accepting. It's great that their parents our age are accepting it. But transgender people and non-binary people in our classification, let's just say late 60s, born in the late 60s, early 70s, that core Generation
X
group.
You're so sweet for saying that about me.
Thank you. I'm always sweet to you. Oh, gosh. Anyway.
I'm a boomer.
But that visit, we've always been there, but we didn't come out. When I came out to my sister, she said, why didn't you tell me when we were growing up? I'm like, honey, it was 1989. Hmm. Who's coming out as transgender in 1989? I mean, I grew up in a suburban St. Paul, Minnesota. 98% of our graduating class was white and straight, and nobody came out.
Yeah.
And so it's just such a different age. But I think the visibility now for me is important, especially in the public way that I do it, doing comedy, doing this podcast, being on this show now for a second time is important because we've always been here. Now we're just having the courage to finally come out.
Yeah.
And you told me before the program that you're still dad to your kids.
It's still dad, and I get emotional about that. And, and it's one of the things, when I was, during this process, so we're working through this with my ex, she's a wonderful lady, but I had to look at her and to say, I don't want to take the title of mom away from you. I don't want to share that with you, I honor your motherhood, where my kids, I'm their dad regardless of the presentation of who or what I call myself. It doesn't matter. I'm still dad.
Same, Penny?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I've never had an issue outside of that part with my daughter. Hold on one second. I got to – sorry about that. I wasn't crying, no. this doesn't hit it all home. This is completely unrelatable content to me. No, it is completely relatable content to me, all of this. I love my kids. I was a little bit different. I was divorced. I raised my kids, my two youngest kids, by myself, pretty much. So I got to be both mom and dad to them, but they wanted to call me dad, so I let them call me dad. That's the important thing in this, is that this is not just my, and I realize how blessed I am, because I've received nothing but acceptance, even from my oldest son, who's a police officer and, you know, like a by the book kind of guy. And when I told him I was transgender, he had three questions for me. The first was, can I call you dad? And I was like, yes. Are you going to take care of my brothers and my sister? And I said, yes. And then they said, can we go to the comic book store now? That was it for him. But having that acceptance is a gift that I will never not cherish, because I know so many people who lose family members. So our story is not typical. We did catch a break, I guess, with the acceptance of people. And I have a church that I go to that is, even though it is not the actual denomination is not affirming, the church itself is actually, Jen, I'm going to be marching with them in the Pride Parade. It's wonderful to have. I have managed to find support every place I've gone.
You do. Your church does ask interesting things over punch, though.
Yeah, well, that was not here. That was
a different church.
Yeah, that was in 2017 when I was when I was traveling the country, and every place I went, I looked for churches, and I would always go to ones that say all are welcome here.
Wow.
And I found out that like all and most of those places did not include me. It's like value of all that did not include transgender people.
Oh, wow.
I was batting about 300 on that, which is great if I was playing baseball, but it wasn't for when going to a church.
Yeah.
And even this last 2 weeks ago, I went home for a memorial service for a family friend, and I did not feel welcome in the church that I grew up in.
Let me ask, as we go to break, Amy and Penny to tell us when the new podcast, which is Transformation Thursday, it's coming our way. When are we going to hear the first episode? When's it going to be posted?
That's a darn fine question.
That is a good question.
Put us on the spot. Thanks, Evan. I'm thinking it'll probably be sometime in early August.
Yeah, we want to get a couple of them. There's some people that we've been asking to appear on the show.
You're not shooting very high if you've been asking me, but I'm definitely going to be on your show.
I'm looking through the window there, too.
Megan Mack as well.
She's very much somebody you should be.
Yeah, we're getting people on the show. We want to try and get like four or five. We've been all the studies we've been doing say get four or five ready and release them all at once. So we're going to be doing a fairly intensive amount of recording right now. So we're shooting for early August.
Yep, we're honored to be asked.
We're
going to make sure.
Thank
that
you happens. For being part of it. And one of the things we need to get to break, but you know, we want the show to be, you know, there. Of course, we're transgender, so there are going to be LGBTQIA+ issues within the show. But also, you know, there's so many great transformations, and the way we live our lives is so different from, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that there's so many great stories to tell and talk about that I think we can incorporate that in and still not lose that as part of the essence of our show. So I think that was an important factor, you know, when we were brainstorming this, that, you know, we didn't want to lose sight of that either.
Well, when we come back, I've got an email that I think you ought to hear. And we'll continue with the conversation with Amy Stevens and Penny Sterling. They are the hosts of Transformation Thursday, Rochester's newest podcast, which launches sometime in August, transformationthursday.com. And they're both comedians and storytellers, and we've always appreciated their perspective and their very raw and honest experience that they're sharing with us and with our listeners here. So let's get that only break, and we're right back with Amy and Penny next. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, Monroe County saw its first decrease in overdose opioid deaths in years in 2018. Now, that doesn't mean that the fight is won, but we are going to talk about why the trend finally pulled back in a more productive direction. And we are also going to talk about presidential ideas for what to do about opioids and pain medications. That's Wednesday on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Connection was made right here on this program. Amy, you and Penny met here, huh?
Here, yeah. And we didn't hang out right away afterwards, but at the beginning of this year, we reconnected and we started talking, meeting on a regular basis, talking, seeing each other, you know, in the comedy circles. And then we came up with the idea for the podcast. So
And can I out Megan Mack here? I mean, I
definitely
know Megan is one of the great comedy coaches and teachers in this community.
Yep.
And you know that personally.
Yeah. And so in 2018, I started attending the classes that Megan puts on over at the Rochester Brainery. Great introduction to improv comedy. And then, you know, of course, she knows you, she knows Penny. And so through the magic of, you know, 6 degrees of no separation here in Rochester.
Yeah, there is no separation.
Yep. I've quickly learned that in my 11 years living here, that, you know, it just, you know, grew friendships and you grow connected to people. And, you know, and that's the way it's been. And Penny's been a great mentor for me personally, because, you know, having somebody who's been there, done that a few years ahead of me has been, it's been a great resource for me personally.
That's ageist to call Penny a mentor.
Yeah, well, she's just saying it because it's true. That's
it's
all.
True.
Amy, did you feel comfortable in the improv setting deciding, you know, I'm going through a transition, and as we've talked about this hour, you know, you right now, here you are in July of 2019, and you're Amy all the time, but that was a transition for you. Did you feel comfortable enough in the improv setting to be Amy?
I took a chance there. I figured that it was going to be a safe space. And before I showed up, because I started going to improv as a guy. And so I sent Megan an email. I said, you know, I just signed up for comedy or for improv. I'm gender fluid at the time is how I was labeling. I was still in my exploration phase. But I want to come to improv and, you know, show up as Amy. And she's like, you show up however you need or want to. And she loved and accepted me for who I am. And Megan's been a great friend for me in that regard. And, you know, we can go months, you know, without seeing each other. But, you know, when we reconnect, we just pick up from where we leave off. And she's a great friend and a great advocate for our community, you know, in the little ways that matter so much. And so, you know, not only does, so it's been a fantastic space for me, and everybody there has been welcoming to me.
Yeah, me too, actually. I have a similar story, believe it or not. I did not, but I was in a troupe called Polite Inc. It's Karen Kraft's improv troupe, and I had a lot of fun with it. And I was doing that when I was transitioning, and we actually talked about it. I told Karen like halfway through my time there that I was transitioning and that I wanted to perform as myself. And we did that. And I actually wrote it was both improv and sketch. And I wrote a sketch that was really hilarious and well received and became the basis of a piece that I do for one of my shows now. But before we started, she came out and said, there is a person in our troupe that is transgender and is funny. And but we want to make sure that you all know that you can laugh at a transgender person for being funny, but you can't laugh at them for being transgender, and that's not what we're going to do here tonight. And that is such a wonderful piece of advocacy. And, it was just so wonderful to have that. And I think one of the Rochester community in general, the Rochester comedy community,
and
performance community, is incredibly welcoming and incredibly generous with their time and their spirit. And it's been a great, I've gotten some very deep friendships out of it.
Yeah, thinking about what Amy said about, you know, it was 1989, you know, thinking back to, you know,
1967.
So different times. And so around 1989, that distinction that Penny just made about, you know, you're not laughing at someone for being transgender. You're laughing because the person who is transgender is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Around that time is, you know, Seinfeld had an episode where Elaine's on the train going to a lesbian wedding. And literally they cued the laugh track when a woman says, where are you going? She says, oh, I'm going to a lesbian wedding. That's a laugh line at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing what has changed now, because that would not obviously be a laugh line in 2019.
And you play off of Seinfeld, and that definitely wouldn't be a laugh line. And also you look at Friends must-see TV from that time, and you look at Friends and Chandler Bing's dad was portrayed as, you know,
by Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner, but it was a transgender woman.
Well, hold on a sec. I tried to swear off Friends as best I could. I tried to cut back as much as I could. But
we'll be there for you.
So I don't. Oh, gosh. you're making me go to a place I never thought I'd have to go on Connections or anywhere in life was watching the show Friends. But
that doesn't age well.
So I wasn't aware of this. So Chandler's dad on the show was transgender.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the whole
played
thing.
Played by Kathleen Turner.
Yep.
Yes.
Then it just does not age well. It just plays off of every stereotype of, you know, what you could think a transgender woman would be. But at the time, that was cutting edge and part of the normalization process. And even today, when I watch those episodes, my kids love Friends. And we watch that, and I just cringe at it. And they're like, Dad, what's wrong? And I'm like, that just doesn't age well.
Yeah, and I can tell you probably every single episode of every single show that had, you know, like the WKRP in Cincinnati where Turb Tarlick goes to Dayton for a convention and starts making out with this girl. And she goes, you know, and you can't even tell. I used to be a man. And it turns out there was his high school buddy, and he was like, "Oh, okay, dude." And like, I was deeply closeted, but that hurt me. There are so many episodes where being transgender, the fooling people aspect of being trans, and that was played for comedy.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that I came to grip with myself and really labeled myself as transgender for the first time was in the mid 1990s when I was in college. The Jerry Springer Show used to have transgender women on, and of course the punchline was, I used to be a dude, and the boyfriend would go crazy. But I looked at those beautiful women on there and said, that's what I want, but I can't because of all the societal reasons why.
In 2014, when I started hosting this show, about a month in, did a show that has stayed with me. And you know, it's interesting, in 5 years, your podcast is about societal transformation, right? Mm-hmm. Even just the way society receives the idea that a person is transgender has changed, I think, in 5 years. Mm-hmm. ESPN, the magazine, had a writer who was, or it was Grantland, which is their online at the time, which is now defunct, had a writer who wanted to figure out the story of this weird putter, a golf club, invented by a woman named Dr. Vanderbilt, came from the Vanderbilt family line and had this, you know, this astrophysicist and worked on the stealth bomber. Turns out that none of that was true. This person was basically just, Dr. V was a woman who like worked for the city of Phoenix like, you know, as like a maintenance worker. Hmm. So but some of the best golfers in the world were using this putter. But the writer also found out that in the way he wrote it, Dr. V used to be a man. And that's what he wrote in the piece. So to the writer, the story, the revelation was that was the quote-unquote lie, when the interesting thing was the truest thing about Dr. V was who she was.
Yeah.
Everything else did turn out to be a lie. The background, the faked resume, that stuff was interesting. But who Dr. V was, well, Dr. V died by suicide.
Yeah.
Because of that piece.
And that's probably...
It's a disaster.
And it's not surprising.
Disaster.
It goes back. But if you look at societal transformation, when you talk about transgender issues, but if you look at most public opinion polls today, I've read some from the UK recently because London had their pride a few weeks ago, and then even here in the United States or something, but Pew and other places, you know, Gallup, you know, roughly 60% of the population supports transgender rights. And that means using the bathrooms that we identify with, you know, having full access to health care, you know, discrimination laws that protect us. So, I mean, it's a very vocal minority that unfortunately has power today.
Yeah, and it does, because that's where the news goes. And there is, especially in England, there seems to be a fairly large amount of transphobia, even in the mainstream non-tabloid newspapers, where the amount of reporting they do is always transphobic and, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the term TERF or not.
I have not.
It stands for Trans-Exclusionary Radical Feminist, which I don't really ascribe because there's nothing about them. And they're basically saying that we are men invading women's spaces. And nothing about them is I think, feminine. I prefer,
logical.
Yeah, I prefer, you know, feminism appropriating radical transphobes, but I can't think of an acronym for that would be worthwhile.
I'm not gonna try to even figure that out.
Good. That's good for you.
Oh.
And okay. The last horse finishes the race.
So Let me read Kathy's email before we close the hour. Kathy says, I'd like to thank Penny in particular for taking the risk to be public about her transition. Ooh. My husband, friends, and I were fortunate enough to see her at the Fringe Festival in 2017. She made her transition personal and helped us understand the good, bad, and the ugly of what she faces during her journey. We subsequently went to see Real Boy at the Little, and I just finished reading Becoming Nicole. It's so important for us to all understand others' experiences. That's from Kathy in Penfield. So,
thank you, Kathy.
So you guys, I say you guys, and I got corrected by this because I say you guys to every room I walk into, men or women.
Yeah.
And I probably should work on that, huh, Penny? Yeah. Penny said you gals, and I said, well, I say that to everybody.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know. And then my issue with that is that it normalizes the kind of casual, you know, goofy friendships as some inherently masculine thing. The same thing with dudes. It's like,
So you ladies are launching Transformation Thursday, but not until sometime in August. So listeners, if you want to check out Rochester's newest podcast, Penny and Amy are working on it. They're going to have a handful of episodes when it first launches, and you can find it at TransformationThursday.com. Correct?
That is true.
Yep. Real quick, where else can we see you? You working on anything?
Yeah, I'm doing a show with Amy on Friday night at Boulder Coffee with Amy and Corey, who are both trans. I'm also doing Parents and Children, Husbands and Wives at the Spirit Room on Saturday, and then we're going to Cleveland with that.
Yeah, you have a very busy 2 weeks here in the middle of. Thank you for making time for this program.
Thank you for thanking us.
Thank you for having us.
That's Penny Sterling, Amy Stevens. Thank you both so much.
You're wonderful. Thank
David.
You.
Rob, Megan, Evan, that's all of us. We'll see you tomorrow.